Good morning, everyone. A couple of things. One, I forgot to mention, and you might have seen it in one of the other bulletins, but this Tuesday and Wednesday, we are doing a fast from 6 p.m. on Tuesday night to 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. So basically, we do a fast every August to remind us what we fasted for in January. So I'll go over through some of that, not today, but if you need one of those papers we fasted for, Scott's got those. They're actually on the out there in the foyer area. But anyway, so we are doing the fast from 6 p.m. To 6 p.m. on Tuesday through 6 p.m. on Wednesday. So hopefully you will participate in that. And then we have a carry-in service this coming Sunday. So we haven't mentioned too much about that, but this next Sunday is a carry-in here. So also after service, we'll continue into the service at the end. If you need to leave when we're done, that's fine. But Garingers, Mike and Joe, will be renewing their vows here. As you said, short and sweet, but it'll be good. And then being with all their family members here, it's always good to see them. But it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 14. If you want one of those pieces that we do pray and fast over, Scott's got those. And if you want one, just lift your hand up. He'll give you one if we got enough while we're doing this, because we kind of got behind the eight ball in getting that out. But I want to share with you today that, so if you need one, just lift your hands up. There you go. That we are kind of in a confusing time in the world today. We got a lot of people that are speaking, a lot of groups are speaking into our ears. And we're letting a lot of people speak in and giving their opinions and their ideas about how things are and how things should be. I want to read out of John chapter 14. I'm going to use the New King James Version this morning. Verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my house, my Father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. For where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way, you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So what we see here today, we are living in a very confusing time. Very confusing time. The world is trying to tell us how one can get to heaven. But many say there is no God. Many people believe there is no God. There is no God, and as though that just, if there's no God, there's no heaven, then we just go back to dirt. And so there's the group of the atheists. Just believe there is no God. Others believe that there are other ways to enlightenment. Another way, there's other ways. And some people believe that Jesus is a way, but he's not the only way. And I want to tell you something right now. If you are not with the Lord, if you are not walking with the Lord today, I'm going to tell you, you think that you are not going to fall con to some of this stuff, you will. If you don't stay close to the Lord, you will start to listen, and it will creep in to your ears and will come through your ears and begin to creep in your heart. And then you will begin to say, "I wonder if Jesus really is the only way." Some will tell us that anything and everything is okay as long as it doesn't involve Jesus, this Jesus. Some will even go to that place. But I think if we could open our minds and we begin to read and understand what Scripture says, Scripture gives us an answer for that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So we see that Satan blinds the eyes of the unbelievers so that they will listen to everything else that's out there except for the way, which Jesus said, I am the way. So we see that there are so many different avenues that the world is coming up with, that there is a different way to get to this place that Jesus was telling him there. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know the way to heaven. The physical map, I don't know, because you can't get there by a physical map. But it is only through Jesus Christ. That is the way. There's not two ways. There's not three ways or four ways or five ways. And it's not your way. And it's not my way. For we are created beings into this world. And there is one creator. And it's his system. And it's his way. And he chose his son to be the one and only way. So there is only one way for us to obtain into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't say that he is the only way, but he also said he is the truth. And some continue to follow into the atheist ways, that there is no God. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool believes that there is no God. The fool believes in his heart there is no God. The biggest con in the world is there is no God. Because there is. But the lie continues to go out. Not everything is truth. A few that I just want to share with you this morning. We can't go down the whole list, but I want to share a few. The LDS, the Mormons, believe that you can obtain godhood. They believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. See, partial truth is still a lie. You see how we put everything in that might be godly, but the dark side always wants to plop out the key. It's Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sin. There is no promise of God's promises. Buddhism is also in line with that. It's by works you can achieve a higher enlightenment. Hinduism, by works, you can be reborn into a higher level through reincarnation. They have millions of followers. But in America, it's about church membership. Because I'm a church, I might belong to a certain church, or because my family, we have a whole line, long line of believers in the Southern Baptist or Catholic or Methodist or whatever it may be, and we fall back on that and believe that is our security for our obtaining a relationship with God. It's our security of getting into heaven. It's the key. But church membership is something that we've made up to help us work through the processes of church itself. You can be a member of this church, but you need to be a member of the kingdom of God. And to be the member of the kingdom of God means that you have to have Christ. And this, all these religions of the world, and even Jews themselves, a lot of them, they don't mind God, but they do not want Jesus involved in it. Why? Because Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the truth. Without Jesus, you cannot stand on your grandma or grandpa's salvation. You cannot stand on your own family's salvation. You must have your own salvation. You must believe with your own heart, not with your parents' heart or your grandparents' heart, but your own heart. You must believe in that. Because all people do not go to heaven. All good people do not go to heaven. And you cannot get there by works. God does not have a scale that balances if you've done more goods than you have bads. For Scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for it is by God's grace, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. This is a gift from God, the gift of salvation. There is no redos at death. So while you are living, you are responsible for your life. If a person wants to roll through life and wants to have their own ideas and their own thoughts, they'll still stand before God and give an account. And it doesn't matter what position they had in the earth. It amazes me that how easily we listen to celebrities and famous people and think they have more knowledge. They may be a little more gifted. They might sing better than you and I. They might act better than you and I. They may have more money than you and I. They may have big names and marquee lights. But God is not impressed by that. The world is impressed by that. God didn't send His Son down in some Cadillac limousine or some coach or anything. He wasn't born in the greatest hospital. You know the story. They didn't have room in the inn for Him. Born in a stable, in a manger, in a barn. We got to stop listening to all the other voices and listen to the voice. We got to quit researching what everybody else is saying and start researching what's truth. We got to stop listening to those who's telling us about our life and our spiritual life when they are bouncing all over to whatever whim that they're on this year. And start listening to something that is solid, that is truth. If you think you got saved at a summer at a church camp, you may have. If you think you got saved at a VBS, you may have. But I want to give you a scarce warning. If you're trying to reach way back then, and there's no evidence of you and your changed life, I would probably talk to God and start working out some things. Not saying I was saved at 12 and reworked that. Yep, it was solid. But I want to tell you, you need to be careful that you're not going back to something reaching way back. If it's real, you'll know it's real. But if you're going to tell yourself it was real and you know in your spirit it's not, then you're only fooling yourself. I think Satan is really working hard on for us to listen to the lies. And the big one is that Jesus didn't really exist. He is not the Son of God. But He is. If you believe in the Word of God, this is what really I have a hard time understanding. If we believe in the Word of God, then why do we not believe it? We say we believe it. Why not we believe it and we want to believe everything that's out there? Let me just share John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You know who lost at the cross? Satan did. Jesus triumphed. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus brought hope to a dying world, a world that was separated from God. And Jesus brought hope with His death and His burial and His power of the resurrected life. That we might also follow, when you are baptized, you're buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. That those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He that has the Son has life, and he does not have the Son of God does not have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. It always goes back to Jesus every single time. Why are we keep playing with the most precious thing? It is our life. Why do we keep living life in the balance out there, living it dangerously, even if you are super educated? You are not smart enough to come to Jesus. It must be by the heart. It must be by your heart. Not by your knowledge. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. But Jesus also said, I'm the life. You that are believers, look at your life today. What has God, what has Jesus done in your life? How your life has changed where it was before you had Jesus, and now look at it today. It's not perfect, but I'm telling you, it's a lot better than it was when you were running down your own road. Jesus has a way to give you a life that you can't get on your own. Jesus has a way. Even turning those things in your life that is not good and turn them upside down, and you let him become a part of your life. There's some things that just seem to be moved out of the way. Some things you pray for, and sometimes the Lord just moves mountains and things out of your way because he's got a purpose for you, and you begin to live a purpose that he called out for you. And your life now belongs to him. And you feel that peace, and you know that peace is real. But sometimes we feel like we're not living the way that God wants us to. We're not worshiping. So there's a part in our spirit that moans and groans because something's not right, and we know it's not right. Because when we're not right with Jesus, nothing is right. Nothing is right. Marriages aren't right. Finances aren't right. And even if they seem like they are right, they're only for a moment. They're only for a moment. We hear today that so much about this. It's my life. It's my body. It's my life. It's my life. I can do what I want. I can do what I want. God, I believe God gives us free will. Some people may disagree with me on that, but I believe the Lord gives us free will. When you come to the acknowledgement who God is, and you know that you need a Savior in your life, and you know that Jesus is the one, and you repent and you receive Christ, and you turn your life over to Christ, you begin to understand and know, as you begin to process and become discipled, you find this out: my life now is not my own. As Jesus gave his life up for people, the world, that they have an opportunity to choose him, he gave his life up that we might have life. But Scripture also says that we might have life more abundantly. But the world says it's your life. I'm seeing Satan more working. Boy, he's just so boldly right now. And the church is just kind of silent in so many areas. We're silent in so many areas. My body don't belong to me. When I come to understand who Jesus is, and he say my life doesn't belong to me. And if you come to Christ, you'll find out that your life doesn't belong to you. Why do we think that's a bad thing? Why do we think that that's a bad thing? Because we, in our human, in our flesh, we love to rebel. We don't mean to rebel sometimes, but the flesh comes out and we rebel. We rebel against what we know is right. And what we know is right as we grow in our walk with Christ is what God's Word says. And there's times we rebel against it. As Paul says, there's times I do what I don't want to do, and there's times I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And we're being hit all over the place by all the words of social media and the news, and we don't even know what's real, what's false. It's so bad, we don't even know where to get real truth when it comes to news or anything. We're living in a time of lies. We are living in a time where you can't even figure out what is truth. But I know that there's one thing that I know is truth. If I can go back to God's Word, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. People are still hurting. People are still lost. But Jesus is still the hope. For some of us, it's time to stop running away and staying away because we're angry about what this happened or that church or this people or whatever. Listen, that's all stuff that Satan uses to keep you from having a personal relationship with Christ, keeping you from having a good relationship with Christ, keep you from living out the purposes that God has for you. I cannot promise you eternal life. No one can promise you eternal life. Only Jesus. Because it's only through Him. I can tell you how to get it. I can guide you through. But you get to heaven by holding the hand of Jesus and no other hand. Some of you have been a Christian a long time and you're still playing around with things that you shouldn't be playing around with. You wonder why your life is the way it is. You wonder why there's no peace in your life because you don't have peace with Jesus. You struggle in your life because you're struggling with Jesus. You got pain in your life because you got pain with Jesus right now. You're struggling because it's not right. What's going on in your life is not right because what's not right, it's not right with Jesus. You have to get right with Him. If it's for salvation, it's for salvation. If it's getting out of the pig pen, the prodigal pig pen, it's coming. I'm coming home. But whatever it is, you can only get what's wrong in your life right with Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you, you cannot buy your way into heaven. For the greatest cost for salvation was Jesus' life. And there's no amount of money, of all the money in the world, that could pay for one person's salvation. Because Jesus Christ, that is the cost. And if God loves us so much, He gave His Son, He's not going to allow any other way to come in. It's only going to become through Jesus Christ. I have a question for you. How's your life? How are you and Jesus doing in your life right now? You know, one of the worst things, and we got to learn how to control it, is that cell phone. We all want to pick it up over, and the first thing we do when we go to bed, we look at it, and we go, that's the last thing we look at. First thing we look at in the morning is that phone. I'm not going to fight the phone, but I'm going to fight this, what's on the screen. What is on the screen? Am I going to fight the phone? That's a whole other thing. But I believe that we are in addiction like we've never been in before. But what is on the screen? You know, we are more private today, even in our marriages, than we've ever been before. She has a screen. He has a screen. My wife can look at my phone at any time. I should be able to look at her phone any time. I don't like games, but that's what she does. You know why I don't like the games? Because everybody beats me all the time. I'm not very good at those games. But I'm amazed at what comes across that screen. Little flashes of temptation come across that screen so quick. I'm like, where in the world did that come from? Little advertisement here. Click and go here. Wow, look at that. Oh, wow, I was looking at a video of somebody in the church doing this and that. Oh, flipped it up by accident and went up to another video. What's that? It's not the same person, just other people's videos. Let me ask you this. The next thing you know, you're into that thing 40, 50 minutes. And you done spent an hour and 20 minutes on that daggone thing. And we've not even asked God what He wants from us. You know, it only takes 3 minutes to read a chapter. 3 minutes. I don't think God has a problem. I think we do. I think God wants us to get our hearts right with Him. If you're a believer, you know what that means. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And sometimes it's just as common as saying, Lord Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing, but I feel like I'm a big hot mess. And you know what's going on. And right now I just can't even say the words. I can't believe I went down this rabbit hole. I'm angry with myself. I don't even know what to do. And then you know what you're doing? It sounds like a bunch of hogwash, but what it is God said, now you're really talking to me. You're really being open to me. You're really being who you are. God can work with that. God can work with that. But if you want to sneer and throw yourself into a big hissy and walk out and get angry, then you're worse than where you were before. And you're letting all those people speak into your life. And most of it's just a bunch of garbage. Bunch of garbage. I'm not saying to not have fun in life. God give us, I think life is a gift. Go fishing, go hunting, do those things. Those are awesome things to do. Go to a racetrack, go to a football game. Life is a gift. And we can enjoy life. But life is not our God. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And when He says, I am the life, it's not about just this life. Because He knows that it's for a man to be born, but also a man to die. From the dust He came, the dust He shall return. We're all going to die. But God did something in the Garden of Eden. Scripture says that He breathed a living spirit into man. Man is supposed to live forever. A living spirit. When the God talks about living, it means ongoing. He breathed a living spirit into man. Man sinned. And then Jesus came to take care of that sin. To redeem that which was lost. But not that He just has life here, because we already have life here, but to have it for eternal life. That's what He means here. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. Life is more, and it goes beyond here. A lot of times Scripture says as much as one grain on the sand of the seashores. That's about what one life is here. Eternal life just keeps on going. Jesus is interested in your eternal life. More than you are interested in your physical, fleshly life. And nothing more that He wants is you to accept that He is the way and He is the truth. And He is a life. When I read about Muhammad, he never gave his life. We read about all these Muslims, Buddhists, all of them. Part of them believe in God, part of them believe in parts of God. They're all very confusing, but it all comes down to this. Not one of them is loving. Not one of them gave up anything. Because Satan will not give up anything. And he is not loving. He will not sacrifice anything. But Yahweh, the God that we read about here, He loves eternally. He sacrificed. And He gives us opportunity and hope. I'm going to ask you the question one more time. How is your life really going? And for all of you that love to make plans, you that make ideas and plans, I want to ask you this. How many of those are really coming to life? You know why most of them don't? Because you're not involving Him. It's all yours. It's all yours. It's all your plans. If God saved you and you've accepted it, he's got a plan for you. Let him run the rest of your life. Let him lead. Let him lead. No one knows more about the human than the Creator himself. No one knows more about how to live a life than he himself. Let's stop fighting and pushing against the one that wants to help us. We're going to open up this altar here. And I just pray that each one of you will just listen to the Holy Spirit and do exactly what the Lord wants you to do.